And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
I'm walking by myself, I hope you understand. I just want to be your loving man.
The Vault of Startling Monster Horror Tales of Terror.
Oh, hello, exercise nuts. You seem to have caught me on my power walk this morning for some reason. Hello, Mrs. Stanowski.
Piss off!
Anyway, you know, sometimes you see a horror movie that takes all the conventions of a genre and presents them in a manner that upends the tropes and forges a new path in cinema. And then, sometimes, you watch in a violent nature.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Vault of Startling Monster Horror Tales of Terror. I am one of your hosts, Jason Giaconetti, but I'm not alone on this walk through the woods. I am joined by Two True Freaks OG, Chris Honeywell.
Oh, shit, man. This movie doesn't have any good quotable dialogue in it.
No, I got one.
No, it doesn't. I got one. I did too, but it's not great. All right.
One of the voices you just heard is the hair metal hero, Chris Tyler.
Your authority ends right there at them trees.
and of course, I'm joined by my brother, Mr. Luke Giaconetti.
Oh, Aaron, I'm a little gas station girl, and I need a fill-up.
That was my backup. My line was, the ciders in the cooler are mine. Yeah, we fucking heard you.
Fucking heard. I thought we were doing yoga.
That's a real line from that swimming sort of situation.
But the problem is, that's like the realest line. Like, so if you haven't figured out what we're talking about, it's probably because you haven't seen In a Violent Nature, but we did. So we're going to tell you about it. So get ready. But that line. Like, because I was rewatching it at the gym when I was on the treadmill, I was rewatching it, and that line, and I started laughing so hard for that line because I'm like, just to make sure, the ciders in the cooler are mine. Yeah, we fucking heard you. Like, it's so, like, are you, that is exactly what you would say to someone who keeps reminding you that the ciders in the cooler full of beer are hers. Yeah, we got it.
Drinking beer all weekend.
Just because your toxic masculinity makes you drink beer all weekend.
Okay, so hold up. So I got to say this. So I watched this movie while strapped to a machine that was sucking blood out of me and pumping it back in.
Nice.
Okay.
When
I'm donating platelets, it's a good time to watch a horror movie because I can't get up and do anything else. I've got to prep the movie, right? So I've got this thing. It's like that Metallica song, right? Tied to machines that make me be. So I'm watching this, and we meet these characters, and the first thing this blonde bitch says is, "Well, cancel culture is not real." And then she says that the ciders in the cooler are mine, and it's like, and I just look to the sky, and said, "The things I do for our listeners that I love very dearly." Is including watching this, because all I could think of, remember we watched that pseudo remake, pseudo sequel of Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Yeah.
Leatherface got on the bus and said, "Troy, you're canceled, pal." It's like, we found people more annoying than the characters in that movie. Cool.
Yeah, well, okay. So I just want to say this because
isn't that a good thing? Isn't that what they try to do? Like, through the 70s and 80s, they've it always had those characters that are just sort of like, you know,
so then they
die. I didn't want any of the babysitters in Halloween to die.
The Bartles well, and James in the cooler are mine.
Yeah. Anyway, so I just want to say,
I'm sorry you say that. You know what I think of is son-in-law.
Yes.
You must be the Bartles and James guy.
Oh, God. I haven't thought about that movie in 30 years.
Okay.
I got dragged to that movie in the theater.
Oh, man, it's a classic. Yeah. Anywho.
Something.
Okay, so what I was going to say is this. Some people are going to say that this movie wants to be Friday the 13th. But it's not. It doesn't want to be Friday the 13th. It does not. It doesn't want to be Hatchet. It doesn't want to be anything. It wants to be Friday the 13th, the video game. Because if you've ever abortion, that is literally you walking through the you are walking the whole fucking game. Like someone said, you know what would be a good movie? Friday the 13th, the video game. You go, oh, you mean all the kills? No, the walking. Now, I am just going to say this. With all due respect, if Revenge of the Creature is about climbing ladders, and it fucking is.
Oh my God, it is about climbing ladders, yes.
Its violent nature is about a killer walking through the woods. Now, let me just say this. I have seen someone take, and I saw it, and it was cut up. Someone cut out all the walking in this movie. It's about 20 minutes total overall what's left over. The 20 minutes, which include all the kills in this movie, are not the problems, right? They're shot weird and whatever. That's fine. I'm okay with things being shot differently. But if you cut the walking out of this movie, you have about a 20-minute tight little, I don't know what you even would call it.
Short film.
Sizzle
short
reel.
Subject, basically.
It's kind of like the sizzle reel of this movie. That is the problem. At its absolute core... The same way, the same way that Friday the 13th, the video game, people are like, oh, I love that game. When you're killing people, it's cool. But when you're walking around for hours and hours just trying to find the fucking people, it sucks. That is this movie in a nutshell. For those of you who are listening, who are like,
half of that 20 minutes that's left over from the walking is a ride in a car hastily shot with a green screen that doesn't fit with the rest of the movie.
Oh my God.
You know?
Wait.
I'm going to be the outlier here. I like the Suspiria remake guy and be like, I like the walking. It didn't bore me. I was just like, I'm going to just like, I had the lights down. I'm like, I'm just going to.
There's zero score.
No,
yes. No music. No movement or momentum.
Maybe it's because I grew up in the country and it just trudging.
Grew up we grew up in the friggin' woods, man. I mean, I get it. The only way that I could rationalize this movie, okay, because I made the same note that you did, Jay. It's like a video game. It's just, and it's even shot like that. That's from behind.
Yeah.
The view and the way that he walks is clearly a walk.
Like the third person, they call it, like third person.
Yeah, the third person. Yeah. Isometric behind the back type of look, and it's a walk cycle where he walks exactly the same, right?
Yep.
And the sound is exactly the same. It's like the guy hasn't found you. You press and hold, triangle and you run. He hasn't found that yet, right?
Yeah, right.
But
yeah.
The only way that I can rationalize this movie is a satire. This movie is a satire. The fact that you watch a slasher film and all these things happen and we accept them, right? We accept that this guy rises from the grave. We accept that, you know, that he kills somebody in the woods and then drags their body to the ranger station and throws it into the ranger station so they can find it. We accept all these things, but we accept them in the heightened affect of a film. Yes. And now it's like saying, well, if this was real, this is what this would look like.
Yes.
And I can only take that in a satirical way because there's no other way that I can think that this was an intentional way to entertain without poking fun at the concepts that we just take for granted.
I feel that they like had a really good idea. Got some parts of it that really, like, okay, let's make this as if it really happened, and we'll do it from the killer's point of view. Then fucking stick with it. When they stuck with it, and even with the walking, okay, with the walking, but, like, it wasn't like, it was like, when he was just walking and stuff, that was like, okay, you know, there's nothing, there's no artifice to it to say this is a movie. So it gets more of a documentary feel, and it's like, this is what, okay, this was what it would be like, Jason, you know, trudging through the woods. And they could have made it a flat out, like, comedy satire, you know, and it probably would have gotten funny as it got, but. So I was kind of digging that. It's like, okay, it's the atmosphere, whatever. But then it was like he was walking into a horror movie. It wasn't like he was walking into a real situation. He, you know, and then they would just, like, you could tell they couldn't find a way out of, like, at the campfire when they do the, like, spinning shot, which is neat, but it sort of, like, halfway through it, I'm like, wait, we've left the killer's point of view, you know? Right. I know he's in the woods watching them and listening and stuff, but now we're totally in their point of, we're in a Friday the 13th movie, and the only thing that's slightly different is sort of the way they're doing an art film, like, spinning around the fire and stuff, and I'm like, you know, couldn't they have found some inventive way of doing it, like, you know, he's in the woods and he looks at one of the characters and they zoom in on the character's eyeballs and you can see the reflections of the other people talking and stuff, and something like that, something to keep it in that mode, because when they would switch out of it, it would, then I would be like, okay, so what's the point of walking through the woods now? All that walking through the woods, and yeah, you're going to fucking drop your concept because you can't sit down and, you know. And it seemed like the kind of production where, you know, it was like a labor of love. I had this idea for a while.
I got information about that. Keep going.
and maybe, like, early screenings of it, you know, the distributors were like, look, man. And the producers were like, hey, look, man, you gotta make this into more of a story. So you gotta have, like, some lady who tells a story or something, you know, that adds some sort of meaning to it or whatever. And they're like, well, shit, but we'll do the one green screen shot of the whole movie at the end and end it at that. And then the only fucking twist to the ending, ending is that nothing happens. Yeah. And
right, even
but
even
it doesn't
that,
mean any
to me,
it doesn't
but even
mean
that to me, that's
nothing happens.
But even that's satire, right? Because we're expecting there to be a scare because we've seen Friday the 13th, we've seen Carrie,
we
right?
see
we're
all the points
something.
where the lady pulls the car over and she's messing around and it's stuff, and it's like, don't mess around, lady, you know, she's gonna come out of the woods, you know, the movie's setting up all the opportunities. Or, you know, she's, like, talking to the girl and not looking at the road, and then all of a sudden he's standing in front of her. She swerves and hits a tree or whatever. It's all could happen at any second, then it doesn't. And
right.
But at that point, it had lost a lot of it's like it had segments that were really good. And it's like a good first movie by a young filmmaker, but it is just like flawed in so many ways.
It's not a 90-minute premise.
No.
It's just not. And I'll say this.
Not in this format.
And I'll say this. Because of the lack of artifice with this, and the lack of score, and the lack of presenting it as a film, when the kills happen, there is zero punch to them.
Yeah.
They're totally flat.
And even then, we get back to the high affect, sort of almost camp, with the kills. When he kills the bitchy yoga girl, right? She literally stands there.
Yep.
She runs up to the edge of the reservoir. Well, she runs up to the edge of the reservoir, stops, and stands there and does nothing. So again, it's like, that has got to be. What do we always say? What's the stereotype? the audience yelling, "Don't go in there, you idiot! Don't do that!" And no, she's just literally standing there. And the thing is, to me, that scene, first off, it's so over the top that it becomes Geek Show, which is fine. I don't have an issue with that. But you go from, to me, what may be the most effective scene, which is the long shot of the two girls where the one is swimming and she's trying to get the girl in because maybe they had a lesbian hookup at one point, and the other girl is being a bitch because we've already established the ciders in the cooler are hers, right? So that scene of her swimming and then something drags her under, that's effective. That's a way, Chris, you said this was not a feature length. That's a way that you do this in a 20-minute short, right? That's punch, creepy
punch,
as hell.
Punch, punch, punch.
Right. But then you go from that, which is a scene that to me speaks to the premise and the concept, and it's almost like a proof of concept of the film, to the girl getting literally twisted up like a pretzel. And it's like, okay, it's a cool effect.
Yeah,
but it's like
a Freddy Krueger gag in like a later Freddy Krueger movie, you know?
But without any charisma.
Yeah, right. There's been nothing leading up to it that he, like, usually his kills are just sort of blunt. I guess as it goes along, he starts getting a little more, you know, like, brutal with them, because when he gets the park ranger guy, he really does it, like, he, it's almost like they were doing different, like, the one with the, park ranger where he brings him into the
Woodswood.
Yeah, they used to call that a go devil, in the what he puts him in, that pneumatic
hydraulic chopper.
So, but that seems more like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre kill. That seems like more of a Leatherface kill, and then the yoga girl was more of a Freddy Krueger kill, and then there were plenty of just Jason, just like, okay, I'm gonna, you know, just bluntly kill this person and be done with it. You know, I maybe there were different levels of anger, but it didn't seem that thought. It seemed like if you, I don't know how to phrase this well. If you're kind of dumb, you could watch this and be like, "Wow, I really like." This is based on some reviews I've read of just like, "Yeah, this is like one of the first like art film slasher film," and it's just like, "Well, probably not." At all.
Well,
but
it
isn't an art film. It has art film elements to it, but it has a lot of other elements.
No, it's not first time filmmaker low budget. It reeks of that. And the Red Letter Media guys talk about that all the time. When it's a movie that they're trying to pad out to 85 minutes, it's always they're walking in the woods. Oh, they're walking in the woods. Oh, they're walking in the woods. And that's literally all I could think of while I was watching this.
I will give it credit, okay? Too many times we watch, and I mean this literally, too many times we watch these kind of modern horror films that get good reviews and they're atypical. And they're made by people that aren't horror fans, that are people that think they want to save horror, right?
Yep.
I don't get that from this. I get that this was made by people that legitimately like horror films and slasher films.
Yeah.
So I got to say that. I want to give the filmmakers credit that they seem to be coming from a good place with it. But I think, again, it may not be the right format which to tell this story.
They bit off more than they could chew, but like I'm happy to see it. I love movies where people, like, I don't love this movie, but I love to see people bite off more than they can chew, because they're not trying to triangulate what's going to be more successful or whatever. They've got an idea, and maybe they weren't ready to formulate that. Like when the first time I saw House of a Thousand Corpses, I was like, not a Rob Zombie fan at all, of like music wise. I was just kind of like, whatever. I won't go into it, but not a big Rob Zombie fan. But I was like, I'll see how he is as a filmmaker, you know? And then I was like, oh, this looks like it would play on a 1974. You know, drive-in screen. and then all of a sudden it would go and they'd play some music and there'd be like spiders crawling and blood going down the screen, and it was just like and it would just blow the moment. But all the other stuff was pretty nice and had a it had its own feel to it, and I was like, oh, maybe Rob Zombie will be a good filmmaker. And well, but he does try. He's trying, you know, and some of his movies are really good, and some of them he's trying, I guess. But I don't want to like trash this movie, because I'm like sort of looking forward to seeing what happens with this filmmaker, you know.
He's making Sonic 2. It got greenlit.
Of course,
it got greenlit immediately.
Maybe it'll be like Evil Dead 2.
So why wouldn't you?
Yeah, and maybe he'll get a little more budget and be like, okay, where did we go wrong with the last one? Let's do this one right. And this comes off more as a proof of concept. Although, you know, proof of concept should be 20 minutes long or shorter. Yeah,
this should have been a, hey, I went out with my buddies in the woods for a couple of weekends, and here's this 20-minute short film, and here it is on YouTube. Does anybody want to hire me? Like,
but okay, so the thing is, there's the, you know, the stuff, it's on YouTube. It's the Jason Voorhees fan films, where it's like, something in the woods. I forgot.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
No one talks in the woods. Yep, I've seen that one.
Yeah. Right. So the whole thing is like, that's the idea. Like, if you had put together a short and done this, see, the thing is, this works really well as part of, like, you take this and make this a 20-minute short, and then you take that campfire scene, and that's the fucking story that they're telling, and they go to it. And then you go to another scene, and I'm not saying it'll be perfect, but you go get some directors who don't have enough to make one 80-minute movie, but I got a 20-minute concept that actually could bang on and be really good. So if you did that like that, and then had somebody else and somebody else, because we've seen this happen dozens of times. There's all kinds of anthology movies like this, especially in the 80s and early 90s, where you had just like a little bit of a concept and whatever. Not every piece of an anthology works, but this would work well in that campfire kind of set. Because when he's like, let me tell you the story of what happened, and then they tell this fucking story, but it's then shown from the killer's point of view the whole time. The problem is this, there's a couple of things, but this is a big one. Chris Nash, the guy who made this movie, flat out said that they reshot at least 70 to 80% of the entire movie after they shot it. Why? Because the lead actor didn't walk the right way, and then somebody got sick, so we did 4 weeks of reshoot. I'm like, what the fuck did it look like before? Right? There's almost nothing left in the movie that has anything to do with the killer, because they had to replace the killer, so they reshot all of it. So this was the second time, so it means you shot it, thought it was really exactly what you, this is what I want, but this guy's gait wasn't correct, he didn't keep it uniform, he wanted to make sure the guy was always walking at the same speed. Like, he literally tried to make Friday the 13th the video game. The problem is, I think conceptually, someone saw Elijah Wood's version of Maniac and said, hey, I like the idea that this is told from the killer's point of view, and let me do it here. But unlike that movie, they had to like kind of like, we want to show him. We want to show you what he looks like. Have anyone seen Maniac? Elijah Wood's Maniac?
I've seen them both.
So, the original Maniac's a very different kind of hill of beans. In Elijah Wood's Maniac, it's told from his point of view, and you don't see him unless he's looking in a mirror or whatever. Like, you have to catch his reflection in things to see him. That, conceptually, is a movie that some people actually detest and some people thought was brilliant. But at least they stuck with it. Right. That is, if you stick with it, if the whole movie was shot, like Chris said, if it's shot all from his point of view, even the campfire scene, even the whatever... In the Friday the 13th, the remake, the one, you know, that was made with like Lita Ford and whatever, the one that actually is pretty damn good, even though it's not really Friday the 13th, right? The whole at the campfire scene when they're sitting around talking and whatever, and the guy goes off to smoke, well, to take a leak and finds the weed and stuff like that, right? Like Jason's watching them, and we know he's watching them because they fucking show you him watching them from his eyes. But the whole point is that he's not told from his point of view. Why couldn't you shoot that scene with him standing there watching them? Because, well, we want to show our actors. Who? No one fucking cares about those dildos.
Nobody cares.
No one gives a fuck. I'm being serious. This is like,
I know. They weren't given any dialogue or anything to make them into anybody you'd care about anyway, you know?
It's not like that you give two fucks about anyway. They're just no-name people who are never going to appear in anything ever again except maybe a fucking dishwasher soap commercial if they get fucking lucky in a hand job. But that's about it. They got nothing going. It's not like there's a breakout star from this movie. I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, I understand. But it's true.
No, they aren't going to be Crispin Glover coming out of this one.
But think about it, right? In the 80s, when you had all those actual actors who went to acting school and knew how to act and were in these horror movies when they were young, like The Burning and Friday the 13th and all the different ones, right, whatever, at least you were like, okay, if this is their acting, I
well, one of the kids tried to be Costanza, you know. One of the kids could have been a Costanza, but
yeah,
I don't think we're getting a Costanza out of this even.
No, at no point is this going to replace The Burning as that, like, you know, that cult movie that no one has ever heard of. But like, hey, you want to see this thing? It's kind of like Friday the 13th, but different. The Burning, at least, fuck it, is good.
I can internalize The Burning as the backstory of George Costanza and why he's so fucked up because of his trauma in summer camp.
I think
so much so that he compartmentalized it in his head and gave it another kid's name.
Oh god. So, oh my god. Anyway. So, yeah. And so, okay. So the only thing that I wanted to throw in here, cause I always have trivia, cause this is what it's about. The woman driving the pickup truck that picks up Chris, when she's running away, is played by Lauren Marie Taylor, who was Vicky in Friday the 13th Part 2. Because...
couldn't even tell.
No. Of course you wouldn't, because Friday the 13th Part 2 is, what, 1983? It's now, what, 40 years later almost? Like, kind of thing, like, you know, so... And it didn't matter. It wasn't like you were supposed to, like, look and go, oh, that's her... No.
Yeah, because then that last 15 of the minutes of the movie rolls around, and you're like, "What? I don't care. I don't."
As soon as we got to that, I'm like, "This is tacked on. What? It's the only thing with a green screen, and it's dumb, and it's awkward, and it doesn't fit with anything else."
So they didn't have. So the thing is, if you don't have that part of the movie, he's walking after her in the woods. She gets to the car. She gets in the car. All right, let's go. And it's. From his point of view, here we go. He's just walking, and you kind of can hear. Remember, everything in this movie, all the music and everything is diegetic. Or, God, said it wrong. How do you say that?
Diegetic, that's right.
Diegetic. Yeah. So, like, you start hearing what she's saying, and she's like, get in the car, get in the car. And, oh, shit, here he comes. Get in. And he's just walking after the truck as the truck pulls away. And you can have that scene of him just walking and the truck pulling away, getting further and further and further and further, fade to black. It saves you about 13 and a half minutes. And it actually would fit with the way the story should have been going.
Yep. So maybe. Yep.
That would have been, I thought that would have had more of a punch at the end because you're like, oh shit, he's still coming. He's not stopping. It's like, did we ever talk about
it? I've forgotten already. He didn't get his pendant back, did he?
Yes, he did. The very last shot is they pan over the Jerry jug. And it's not there anymore. So.
Okay.
Well, he got the pendant too in the beginning, which is not his. So he just steals someone else's pendant. I'm just going to steal every pendant. no pendants for me. I'm going to have them all.
Take that off. Nobody wears pendants in this town.
No damn doubt.
Talking about old timer. I'll wear a pendant wherever I want.
Which was the style at the time?
That's my nickname. They all call me Pendant.
which was the style at the time.
I tied an onion on my belt, as was the style at the time.
Oh God!
It's like Dr. McCoy in Star Trek: The Motion Picture, right? Just
yeah,
yes.
Yes, I did.
They drafted me.
That happened to Dr. Bill Robinson too. He got a draft notice while in the Navy, and he called him, and they said, "Well, you need to report." He's like, "I'm in the Navy." But
well, you can sail the seven seas in the
Navy. Shout out to Dr. Bill, keeping our country safe. Thank you for your service. Great stories about reading comics by the grocery bag full. Well,
what a lot of people didn't know is he was actually working at Old Navy. So,
we were at Walmart the other day, and I thought about Dr. Bill. What's the Mountain Dew Zero? What the hell is the flavor, Cal?
Diet Mountain Dew?
No, Baja Blast. And I was ooh.
Oh, Baja Blast.
Yeah, because, you know, folks always like, oh, I got to like my doctor into Diet Mountain Dew. But the Baja Blast, I was like, Diet Baja Blast. Bill would love this.
I've had
it
several.
It was like room temperature. Got to drink it warm.
Oh, it was warm. Yeah, it was in the store.
Warm Mountain Dew.
That's when the brominated vegetable oil really shines.
Oh, yeah.
Give me those
brominated. Smack. But I will say this. I don't know. I don't know. The thing about this, like I said, I had to take this as a satire as I was sitting there tied to the platelet machine. And I'm not too proud to admit this. The guy next to me was watching Major League 2.
He had the
spawn. So there was a few times where it's like, okay, this guy's walking. I can still hear him walking. What's happening in Major League 2? You know, and that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
Did you get to see the best part of Major League 2 with Black Hammer and White Lightning?
What did you say? Mine are more dead?
Yeah, but mine are the deadest.
The deadest.
Yeah. Oh
my God. I made the rooster.
So.
I said, they're not all winners. I mean, I'll give this one credit. Compared to some of the other modern crap we've watched, like Hereditary.
I think
you know, this was a lot better than that, because I think, like I said, this came from a good place, and I think that the people involved had a good idea and all that. It's just this was not, it just didn't come all together, right? I think the whole was less than the sum of its parts sort of situation.
I was a little resentful just because I'm a Huckleberry. If a movie's really bad, it'll take me out of it, and I can actually like see the script with the horrible dialogue or whatever. But like, I'm ready to like if I'm in a movie theater and I'm like, I gotta be here for the next hour and a half, and some like rom-com movie comes on, I'm like, okay, I'll watch this, and maybe I'll even get. I'm. It's very easy to suck me in, and I can. And I was like, okay, we're walking. Okay, I'm with you, filmmaker. I'm gonna get with the vibe instead of fight it, you know. And I'm gonna be like, okay, I'm just gonna sit here and relax and sort of vibe on my little walk with the serial killer, and thinking, let's see where they're going with this, you know. And then all of a sudden, it would jerk me out of it, and it's like, come on, I'm trying to work with you here, you know.
Yeah.
Like the scene with the mirror with the here son, you know, son, right. The amulet, you know, and all that, and that's like sort of out of a Friday the 13th movie too. But it's just like
you're putting artifice in when there hasn't been any to that point.
And that was early on enough that I was like, okay, maybe they're doing something wacky here, and this is gonna go someplace, and you know, maybe we're going to see some more vision, but it doesn't go any. It was just, and then every time it would break me out of it, it was breaking me out of it with something different, but it was still breaking me out of it. And I was going like, well, this is just, you know, this is just your normal thing. And I never got the feeling that I was being like, you know, okay, they're making me feel this way on purpose. You know, I think they wanted me to be just totally enthralled with the movie the full time. And like, we're like, okay, we're going to do this movie. We're going to keep part of the idea of it is we yank people out of the to say this about movies, and all that. But then I was just like, no, this is troubled production. Like, yeah. I could, you know, and it makes sense that they did it twice, and that will suck the life out of a movie, as that Han Solo movie sort of showed, which, you know, it was like, oh, okay, I'll watch this. But it didn't have, like, it wasn't exactly, like, pulsating with life. And this had, it's, I mean, when they found the guy who could walk right, they were like, okay, and you could tell they had an idea with it, and okay, but also maybe this is a lesson they learned, is if the guy doesn't walk right, change that early on in the production instead of being just like he must have noticed that the guy wasn't walking like the way he, you know, he obviously had a vision of what it was supposed to be like, and the guy wasn't doing it. Get that taken care of. Either replace the guy or get him walking right, you know.
Grab the gaffer and put the overalls on him and say, this is exactly how I want you to walk. Do
yes,
it for the
next
16 hours.
Yeah, yeah. And get that shit out of the way so you can film your movie instead of just being like, I don't know. The walking is the way. You got to get a new guy, you know. But these days the way movies happen, you can get, you know, I picture these kids like right out of like the young Raimi brothers, you know, and they're and this is like, you know, they should probably be still making 20-minute YouTube videos and building a reputation with that. But these days you can get sucked into.
I mean, is this also just part of the current era that we talk about a lot too, where it's content? It's literally. Here's 90 minutes that we can fill if you happen to scroll over it and
right, and then all of a sudden somebody who's not ready to make a movie is making a movie, and you know, I'm projecting a lot into it. I have no idea, but that's the feel I got with this filmmaker, is like, you know, we're watching somebody's learning process right here, or like watching early David Cronenberg movies. Although I'm not going to put it on the, level of talent different. Brewing here, but you know what I mean. But David Cronenberg's early movies were like, I'm not really sure how to make a movie exactly, you know. And
well, he's Canadian,
and these guys knew how to shoot a movie, but I don't think. And I got the feeling with this movie that. The execution of them, like they knew what, like they how they would want to set up a scene and film it and do it and get the actors to say their lines at the right times and hit their marks and stuff like that, and the general, you know, technical aspect of making a movie. But then there's the technical aspect of it where, you know, you're scheduling your act, you know, and casting someone that can walk right the way you need them to walk, and
you'd think that would have been the longest part of the audition process. Let me just get like 50 uh-huh. guys that are wicked tall in here and
if,
see how
if
they walk.
An hour of the movie is going to be this guy walking through the woods. You better get your Gunnar Hansen.
Yeah,
and they
get
got
your
their
shit,
guy.
Get your shit together, you know.
They got their guy, and in the next movie they won't have to film it twice. At least not for that reason.
The other thing that this movie exposes or just shows how true is, sound is a huge part of what makes terror happen. Because if you watch any horror movie and the volume's not on, you're not going to be scared. And because there's no sound effects, there's no score, it's literally like watching a horror movie with the sound off, because it basically is. Like, it's just... I know that there are certain points where I should be going, or having a reaction, and I just didn't. I mean, I'll be honest, I think this is only one of two movies that we've covered for this podcast over the last, oh God, I don't even know how long it is now, how many years, where if I was not watching this for the recording, I would have turned it off after about 14, 15 minutes.
You just reminded me of, like, and then there's the one part where it does get really loud, where she's just running through the woods and screaming, like, but it's like all the, it looks like just all the raw footage from the Blair Witch Project or something. Yeah. You know, you don't see him chasing her or anything. It's just her running through the woods in a state of panic. So it's all it's got the feel of it's really creepy, but after like 3 or 4 minutes of just her running and screaming, and that just sort of repeating over and over, it almost got comical, but it was more annoying.
If comical. There's no cutaway to the killer chasing, then you after 60 seconds of it, you've made your point.
Yeah, you're inside her head, and she's like running in a semi-daze through the woods, and it's like it's sort of out of time, and just like this just moment of horror. But then it just keeps going and going and going, and it got kind of grating after a while.
Yeah, that is a fair assessment.
Well,
got kind of grating after a while. Kind of like me in high school, right?
me currently.
I was grating right off the bat. Yeah, I was grating at first sight.
Yeah, I was grating so much they had me working cheese in the ninth grade, man.
I was I was grating on the wood.
I'm grating it, man. Jesus!
That was my nickname in high school, the Great.
You don't want to be put on tomato duty.
I thought it was G-R-E-A-T, and I like they called me the Great, and I was like, "That's right, I'm the Great." And I was like the A-T-E Great, the Knuckles.
Yeah, like Great Expectations, G-R-A-T-E Expectations, written by Edmund Wells, right?
I was the Great Your Knuckles Hit When You Were Shredding Cheese.
Oh, man. Wow, that's how far afield we've come on because of this
episode. The thing is, there's just not a ton to talk about here. I mean, the effects the kill fine. Effects are good. They were... The guy with the Aaron, the guy, the hipster doofus who's there without a girl, right? Okay, it's like, yeah, you're dead, buddy. We all know that. So that was fine. That he had a tape player, a Walkman, I thought was hilarious. And I think it was kind of funny that
he kills him.
Well, right.
Yes. The whole time, that's the only noise we get, just dragging a body. You just hear, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what the fuck? Okay, you know. When I first watched it, I'm like,
So I thought it was funny. So I don't know if I don't know if any of our listeners listen to like, you know, the top, but I guess the format is still called Top 40, right? It's the radio stations that play like actual new music, right? Yeah. So my daughters will ask for that, right? And there's a song that came out, I don't know if it was last year, but it's still hear it on the radio. It's a song called Good Luck, Babe by Chappelle Roan. Does anybody know that song?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
So at the very end of it, it's like this kind of, actually, it's kind of like a sapphic, hey, you know, what do you want to go be gay with me song instead of be with that guy? And at the end of it, it's like this high energy, like power pop sound. And then it just starts slowing down and go. And it sounded like this guy's tape player. So I felt like, who can't be topical right there? I mean, the first time I heard it, I said to my daughter, I said, that's a shame that they ran out of batteries while they were recording the song. And they were like, you want to re-record that? Nah, it's fine. Go ahead.
Except that's not what it sounds like. When the batteries die, it slows down. The tape slows to a halt. So when it plays back, it goes, it should speed up instead of slowing down.
You would think.
It sounds to me more like they had someone kick the plug out of the wall.
I think it's done intentionally as a thematic choice.
Oh,
it was the man. Oh, yeah,
sounds like this is more intentional than the violent nature thematic.
This felt only slightly less long as Hereditary. So
I will say that this was a lot more pleasant for me than Hereditary.
Hereditary just is insulting. Like,
it was insulting, but at least it actually felt like a movie.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm actually giving Hereditary any sort of credit.
See, that's what pissed me off about it more.
Hereditary was made by people with talent and it was still fucking Hereditary.
People with talent who put a lot of work in it and a lot of effort into it. And
Hereditary has
still
actors
insulting.
Who are actually good actors and actresses, and you feel bad for them. Like, I felt horrible for Gabriel Byrne. I'm like, fuck, dude, get out of this movie. I felt at one point he was over there, he's like, no, I'm fucking stuck here. They're paying.
Well, that's yeah. That's what Seinfeld always said, right? You go to a bad movie. That's 2 hours. You're in a bad movie. That's 2 years, right? I mean,
yeah.
Oh, but I mean,
paying you, aren't we?
That's what I'm saying. That again, I would. The director here has. This is the first full length movie that he ever directed. It's the only other movie he made that anyone had ever fucking heard of. He made one of the segments in the ABCs of Death 2. Right? Everything else is like a 5 minute short, an 8 minute short, an 18 minute short. There's nothing. He's been in movies where he played like he was an actor as an extra in like a bunch of movies. But like he was making his student films are 2005. So it's not like this guy, his student film was 20.
Right off the boat. Yeah.
This is almost 20 years he's been a filmmaker, quote unquote. You can't see my fingers, but I'm making the quote sign, right?
Yes.
There, a little peek behind the curtain.
Hold the air quotes up to the mic so everybody can see it, okay?
You know, there you go. The mic. I hit the mic.
Not that close to the mic.
I got too close. Oh my God. Anyway, so if you've been making movies for 20 years, you know, and this is because again, it's his. He had this idea. It's a short that he's like, I can make this into a movie. I mean, if you had done the campfire idea, the anthology, the whatever, you could have gone with a 4-part anthology, make them each, you know, 20 minutes. There's your 80-minute movie. I'm not saying it being perfect, but like, it could have worked. But I don't know if he has 3 other ideas. You know what I'm saying? Like. He made a bunch of shorts before, so why not rehash that short into a whatever? I don't know what the other shorts are. I've never seen them. But, like, unless they're all guy walking through the woods, just saying.
Well, and again, he is Canadian, so you never know.
Yeah. So, and I just want to point this out. So there was a bunch of shorts that came out a number of years ago. Oh, I forgot what the heck. It wasn't Zygote Studios. I'm trying to remember who put them out. That I totally blanked on what they're called now. The one of them was like it's a creature that's absorbing other people and whatever. But each one of them, like you're like, this is really good. It was shot really high end. It was the guy who did District 9 did some of it and stuff like that.
So yeah.
You know what I'm talking? Like they were really well done.
Yeah.
Compact little shorts. Each one of those is like, wow, that might make a really cool movie. But yep. Then you're thinking to yourself going, actually, it worked really well like this. This how it probably worked because they probably didn't have enough to say, hey, I don't need to make this an 80-minute movie. I can make this a 17-minute short and really pack some punch and do high-end special effects and do it. I can't remember that. I thought it was Zygote Studios, but Zygote might be the name of one of the movies. I don't remember. Anyway, but the whole point was, they realized, and again, the guy who made District 9, which is a great fucking movie, understood that, look, I don't have enough here for an entire movie here. Let's just make some shorts.
Yep.
So sometimes a man's got to know his limitations. That's what I'm saying. So,
Clint.
So.
Well, you know, and it's fine. Like I said, sometimes on these new movies, you know, sometimes they hit, sometimes they miss. This one for me was a miss, but I made it through it. I didn't, like I said, Hero. There was times again, I was like, really? And like I said, that's where, you know, it wasn't for me. I'm sure there are some people out there that either love this straight up or love it as a satire or love it as a critique or whatever.
Some things
online, people are like, oh, the vibe is so hypnotic in this movie. And it's like, okay, I can see that. I don't go to horror movies to get hypnotized, except, I guess, Stir of Echoes, right? You know, that one. People were, you all know that story, right? The people were legitimately getting hypnotized in the theater really? With Stir of Echoes.
And I mean, it's a good adaptation, freak you out. And I liked that movie a lot. I wasn't hypnotized.
Well, so when it's his sister-in-law, right? Hypnotizes him. The story goes that they went and got an actual hypnotism method, right? And that her voice and the imagery were people in the test audiences were falling asleep. They were going into a trance. And so,
well, they falling
in the film. I think the last word she says is, "Well, I mean, I don't know if you could fall asleep during Stir of Echoes just for being bored, but that's neither here nor there." So they added a, on the soundtrack, there's like a low frequency hum right at the end that was like low enough that it was like jarring people back if they were, you know, potentially being hypnotized. Because some people are more prone to hypnosis than others, right? So
Jesus, I wish I was.
I would have seen those test audience and I'm like, time to put in the subliminal messages.
Yeah. Popcorn.
Let's all go to the lobby.
I found them. So it's Oates Studios made them. And it was all Neil Blodekamp. He directed all of them. One of them is called Firebase. That's the one, the Vietnam War, both sides face a new kind of threat. Then you had Raqqa. That's the aliens, I think. Tale of Dystopian Future, where unknown alien groups have colonized the Earth. That one stars Sigourney Weaver. Then you had Zygote, which is the one I was talking about. That's the one with Dakota Fanning and Jose Pablo Cantillo. That's where they train in the Antarctic and they fight off an invading, and it's like starts kind of like dissolving everyone together. What's the other one? And I think the other one is Capture. I don't remember. Maybe not. Two science developed a weapon that can control a human's neural activities. I think that's the right one. Is this it? Yeah. So, like, they're all just like, but it's Oates Studio. And again, he made all these shorts, and they're all really well done. And they're all like, wow, each one of these is really like, seems like it could be a really good movie. But when you watch it, it's like, well, it told me the whole story. I don't really need, you know, 60 more minutes of this. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, I just was saying that you could just kind of not do all of it, you know, kind of. So, there's Oates Studios has 10 episodes all told, and they're all him. So yeah, so the first few I saw when they first happened, and I showed my dad, and I was like, "It's gonna blow you away." He's like, "Holy shit, this is great!" I'm like, "I know."
They were well done, quick and dirty. Sometimes the special effects you could tell were a little choppy, but they were doing it quick and dirty, and he's a good filmmaker, so they moved, you know, and
because
he's a visual storyteller too, which helps a lot.
Yeah, District 9 was 2009, so this was 2017, so it was a few years later. And then did he make Chappie?
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, he did Chappie. Elysium.
Elysium.
Something else.
I don't remember that one because I didn't see it. The one after Elysium.
He did Gran Turismo. That's his newer one.
Oh yeah, that was boring as fuck.
Oh, but the thing is, that's you can, just like Carpenter. Sometimes you make a movie because it helps get other movies made.
He'll get three or four movies out of that one.
Look, I get it. It's just
And then did he make Demonic? No, let's see. He did. He made that also. The movie's called Demonic. It's 2021.
So he's probably due for one pretty soon.
Yeah, well, 2023 was Gran Turismo, so he's probably
That's true.
The next, unless he's so Neil Marshall did the same thing. Neil Marshall made like literally Dog Soldiers, then he made The Descent, and you're like after that. I mean, you can only go down from there. But like, and then Doomsday, a lot of people didn't like, but Doomsday's not bad. But
Doomsday's fun.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, but it's not the level of Dog Soldiers or The Descent for being a horror movie. It's more of a post-apocalyptic. It's a different kind of movie.
Yeah, it's Escape from L.A.
It is, except that someone has an eye that can roll around and see things. Oh, sorry, did I give it right? It happens in their first fucking 5 minutes. But it's a 30-year-old movie. Get over yourself. Anyway.
Is that 30 years old now? Jesus.
No, probably not. It's probably not. At least 20.
No, it's not 30 years old.
Well, I mean, you were talking about, you know, rewatching the Crow for your other show, and it was like
I rewatched The Crow,
and I watched it this morning. I'm like, holy fuck, 30 years went by real fast.
Doomsday was 2008. Sorry, so it's not now even 20 years yet, but it's still it seems like a while ago because
yes, it does.
Yeah, The Crow definitely holds up. The Crow is
it does
a different kind of movie. So anyway. In a Violent Nature, brought to you by the
Walking.
Well, you know, they said walking is this generation's cigarettes. So, you know.
Well, they also said you're supposed to get. Now, the thing is, one of those things that was cut in the reshoot, right? I was reading this, is that they originally had a sponsor on board. Right, and the sponsor didn't like it. That was one of the things that I don't know if it was like some NDA thing, but Fitbit was immediately on this movie, right? Oh, man, look at him getting his 10,000 steps, and he's just nothing stopping him, right? Just moving. And you know that's the nature.
That would have been a nice scene watching his Fitbit flip over to 10,000, and then he just lays down and digs a hole and goes back to sleep.
So all you Zoomers and Gen Zers and whatever the next generation are, take off your fucking Fitbits, pick up a fucking pack of Camels, and just come on,
lose some real weight.
Yeah.
That would have been funny as hell if there's the girls running because there's no signal out there, right? No signal, and all of a sudden she hits the road and you hear her Fitbit bing on, ding. Up, I hit my goals for the day, you know, kind of.
And it's only 7 a.m.
Yeah. I'm working. So all my circles are filled. Yay. So anyway.
That's a porn movie I saw, too. It was called All My Circles Are Filled.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Hold on. So. Yeah.
What the?
It was originally called Signs with a Z, but like, you know, now it's over.
That's not right. Don't tell people that. They're going to believe you.
We're wandering off the beaten path.
You're getting typecast into movies like the Joy Suck Club. And
Well, I mean, it was bad enough with Dennis Leary getting typecast after he did Joy Luck Club. I mean, he couldn't get any other roles after that, for crying out loud.
the Joy Suck Club could have also been a R-rated erotic thriller in the 90s about vampires.
An erotic
too.
Thriller.
Yeah. The Joy Suck Club is vampires. The one I always remember when I worked at the video shop / comic book store was they did have the poster for Jurassic Pork.
Yes.
Back.
Jurassic Pork, Dickman and Throbbin, Cliffbanger. Like the 90s was a heyday for great porno pun titles.
Oh, the best one ever, The Firm.
The Firm.
It's right there.
Or stop, or my mom will shoot.
Oh, ooh. No.
Stop or my mom will squirt is what that was called.
No, actually. Yeah. Shoot. I'm going to have to change the title.
Okay, no, I'm pulling the plug on this. We're done. All right. This is bring us out.
All right, okay, here we go. Right into the closing credits music.
Hey, babe, I'm walking here. I'm walking far. I'm walking near. I'm walking. I'm walking. And walking some more. I have an idea. I'll keep walking. Walking and killing. That's what I do. But most of all, it's walking. What can I say? I really like to walk, it's true. It's an excellent night. It may be time to walk. I like to walk. And I like to trudge. But trudging is walking too. So I like to walk. Fuck you if you judge. Maybe after I walk, I'll kill you. Walk, 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 walk.
Ain't no time for guitar. I gotta walk some more. Walking hero.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS. Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Test, test, say duh.
Duh.
Good luck.